And we're going to open up with a word of prayer before we get into God's word. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here standing to deliver the message that you have placed on my heart. I pray that you will be each person that's here. Open their ears and their hearts for the message that you have prepared specifically for them. Yes, we are your children. Yes, we're humbled to be called a child of God. But above all things, we're blessed that you use us for the benefit of your kingdom. You use us for the benefit of your glory. And you use us to fulfill the calling that you have put on each and every one of our hearts. Bless First Baptist Church afar. Continue to be the shining example in this community that you desire us to be. Continue to teach our children, teach your children, and to teach us more mature people to understand the simple truths that come from your holy word, your inspired scripture, your policy manual, that only through knowing you that we can be inspired daily to continue to be blessed by it. Jasmine took her missionary trip to Houston, and we were blessed in the message she just shared with you. And I pray that you will continue to bless the young people of the BSM, the leaders of the BSM, and the ones that support them through the meals and through the monies, and also through the service that they provide at our universities and our technical schools in the region. Bless us now as we humble our heart, open our mind to the message that will be delivered, and bless us in all that we do. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. I want you to take today and open to Matthew's. That's a pretty simple book to get to. It's the first one of the New Testament. And I'm going to ask you to open up to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is where a lot of people like to talk about the parables, but we're not going to talk about the parables today. We're going to talk about things leading up to the parables. Matthew was one of the apostles. Matthew was the one chosen to be one of the divine writers in the Bible. But the thing I want to tell you about Matthew is that Matthew wrote with an elegance. And his elegance that he wrote with came from his upbringing and the way that he was raised as a child of God. Also, a simple point here of how Jesus told his disciples and the others that were listening the value of children. Most of us know the story of Jesus. Jesus was introduced to the masses by teaching in the synagogue at a young age. He was a child. But his father introduced him to teach the elders. And as he taught the elders, they were astonished about the wisdom that this young man had. And people flocked to him and his message. We also know that Jesus was crucified for each and every one of us at a tender age. The tender age that he was crucified, he had fulfilled his missionary journey that God had put on his heart and that God had directed people to do. So with that, I want you to look at a few activities that we have covered to get to this point, to end with the children ministry and our youth ministry. How did we get here? It's amazing that most people forget that we were young one time. It also amazes me about how much we thought we used to know when we were young, and as we got older, we don't know. But I'm not here to talk about those things. What I'm here to talk about are the ones that we need to never forget, and it's purity. You talk to a young child, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later more. You talk to a young child, you better be ready for the truth to hit you between the eyes. Because they're going to tell you the truth. Do I look good? No. Are you fat? Yes. Can I go somewhere? No. And you say, do you know any other words? And they go, no. That's all mom and daddy says. Purity. They have nothing to benchmark against but purity. And that purity comes from God. The purity comes from their life. And we're going to talk about that. I've talked about other organizations of this church, and they're all blessings to me. But children are a sensitive spot in my life. I watched our son go through children church here, but children church did not leave the sanctuary. Children church was done on this pulpit. I enjoyed it. His room still today, he's not there, but the stuff is there. The little that you remember the story as an adult. And these stories are so pure for how children need to learn the Word of God. I've told you about women that led our school that we had here at this church. I've told you about women that have taught our youth etiquette and other social benefits that they needed. I've told you about our WMU that's always went out of their way to support our young people, and we're in the middle of a school drive currently. I've told you about our brotherhood and how they have been inspired to lead our boys. We used to have the RAs here. We used to have the discipleship now here. All of those things were to take us, people that taught those, the opportunity to be educated by our young people, by our children. Our youth department here, if you come to our 11 o'clock service, you will see a lot of our young people that are here today was raised in this church, and they're still here. But the thing that is more important to me than all of that is how God mandated that Jesus' time was showed through the life of children. God took Moses and put him in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they went through a lot of strife. They went through a lot of toiling. But they survived it generations later. When you hear the term generations later, generations mean that you had children born. And as these children were born, they were being showed the love of God, and they were being showed the Word of God, and they were being blessed by God. And then Jesus was delivered through a virgin mother as a small child. That should tell us the value that God put children for sending his son as a child to be raised as a human child. Could have different ways, but he brought him as a child, and that is the point of our message today. So look at Matthew 18, starting with verse 2. It says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I warn people about using the word ever. Ever is a long time. But let's look at the word here I want to start today's sermon with is truly. When Jesus uses the word, that is about as concrete, firm word that you will ever see spoken by anyone. But when Jesus says the word truly, there leaves no doubt or no omissions left out. When you talk about omissions left out, Jesus never left anything out. So look at verse 2 while we position ourselves for verse 3 where it says, called a little child. Y'all have heard my spiel about callings. You know what I believe a calling is. A calling is something that is inspired by God that encourages you and inspires you to go to the next level of life. But at the same time, a calling means that you have been prepared for that. God does not close a door without having a door already open for you. And in a calling, you may or may not know that you were already being prepared for a task. And it's amazing that here in the New Testament, Matthew does not say the child's name. But he says clearly, called a little child. A lot of scholars will say, well, why was it important not to give the name, but give the reference to being little? Little doesn't mean a whole lot until you start thinking about it. We read the word little and we just keep going. But let's look at the word little. Little children in today's society are special children, just like they've always been special children for everyone. Olympic stars, they're in the world competition right now. McAllen, Texas just had the Games of Texas. Look at the children who came and competed. But then ask yourself, how many days, months, or years did it take them to prepare themselves for these different stages of events? God is the same way with His children. And Jesus has inspired us to be their coach. Jesus has directed us to be their inspiration. And Jesus has mandated through the world mission that we teach them. We show them. We educate. But above all things, the motivation of our education has to be driven for the simple fact of what we just seen in the end of verse 3 where it says, enter the kingdom of heaven. That has to be our motivation. We have to be driven to do that. How many of you remember your first child? How many of you remember wanting that child to start speaking in a hurry? You wanted them to say, Mama, Dada. But then when they started speaking at 1.5, 2 years old, you kept saying, oh my gosh, turn that switch off. That's what life's about. Life is about children growing and maturing. I remember a sermon one day by a pastor that was at a convention I was at, and he was preaching on why did God give us ears to hear before He gave us noise in our voice? And I thought it was such a unique event. I was thinking about that as I prepared for this 2 weeks ago. Think about this. For over a year, possibly 2 years, a child will hear, a child will listen, a child will watch what is going on in their life. A child knows when they want something, they cry. And a child reacts to how they're reacted to. A child knows that. God ordained that to be the process. So why, as adults, can we not slow down, think about what we're going to say before our lips start moving? We started that way, but we don't live that way. But I want you to look at the greatest thing that God give our children, and it's you. You are an example to every young child in this church. You may be a child by name. You may not know that child's family, but you are the inspiration of that child. That child is watching. That child is paying attention to what you're doing. But that child is desiring your love. They already have the love of Jesus Christ in their life, but they're desiring that we teach them the next step of their life. That we are the ones that set the example that will make them who they are in their later parts of life. You will hear at the end of today's service another discussion about missionary work, of how young people around the world can make change. You will also hear how refugees from other countries are seeking the same change that we are. All of these things are key to the elements of Jesus Christ and His world mandate. But I want you to look back at something that I intentionally left out here, and it's the middle of verse 3, and it says, unless you change. I've always thought this was unique in this verse. When you hear Jesus tell us, unless you change. Jesus knows that we're headed in which direction. If He wants us to change, it must be the wrong direction. Jesus wants us to be more like Him. And it says, in the Bible, it says, unless you change and become like a little child. To me, it's such a powerful statement of Jesus wanting us to be full of humility and be able to go back to when we were a young child and be that child of God that Jesus has always desired that we will be. Loving. All God wants us to do is do three simple tasks. Task number one, love everyone. Not doing so well on that. Task number two, always be honest and truthful. We're struggling with that. But then the number three, and it's what this series has been about, is tell everyone about me. Not about Gerald, but about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. Three simple tasks that young people get better than us older, mature people. We want to judge. We want to have an understanding of something. But I'm going to tell you, God places angels in our presence. I am one person that will tell you children are angels. I lit up like a Christmas tree. This week I got a video message from someone, and the story was Humpty Dumpty. And it was a cute little message I got on my phone, but the thing that really excited me was our great-grandson was able to say, Humpty Dumpty, Grandpa. That's what life's about. He can take words now and make them into things that old guys can understand. They're not garbled. Jesus has been doing that in my life forever. Today's message is about this. Jesus will place the words in your heart if you will humble yourself as a child. And He will do the work in your life that He has inspired you to do when you did not know He was working in your life. Children crying upsets people. Children making noise when you don't want noise upsets people. Well, let me tell you, children crying is a blessing. They're expressing a need. But the biggest blessing us watching see is how the parents handle that child. I have the privilege to be on too many airplanes, and I watch many times that the baby will start crying and the parent will get so frustrated because they're embarrassed. And somebody will volunteer to take that child, and the child stops crying. I believe God has filled that person's soul with mercy. And that child, when he is handed from his parents to that person, that child feels God's mercy. And that child stops crying. Doesn't mean the child will quit crying, but the child stops crying. And God is showing us His mercy through others. But now look in verse 4 where it says, therefore, that means you already know the answer because I've already told you. But was you paying attention? And it goes on, it says, who is in a lowly position lowly position. That means it's a choice. You are inspired by God to have choices. It's your opportunity to take and use the choices to the furtherment of God's kingdom. How you doing? How are you performing? Are you being the person that God wants you to be? Society will tell you, work harder, be better at what you do, and you will be headed along life's pathway of a journey. Not necessarily the case. But I will tell you, the Bible clearly says, love God with all your heart and your soul. You will be blessed. Why? Because as a child, that's a position that you choose. You chose to be a child of God. You are a child of God. Simply by accepting Jesus into your heart, you became a child of God. By living the life that Jesus has inspired you to live, you became the person that God wanted you to be. And the Holy Spirit is with you daily, every second, making you better than what you knew you could be. God didn't ask for perfect people. God did not ask that we would only have good parents. But God did create something. God created man. And from man, he seen man was lonely. And he created a helpmate. And he called that person a woman. And he told them, go and create families for my kingdom. It's amazing to me that God did not write a book of how to raise children when he created a family. Why did he not? Because he wanted choices. He wanted us to be able to raise our children because of how we were raised. He wanted us to be inspired to do the world the mandate of teaching all about him. But one of the things that I always get excited about and I always want to just shout to the heavens about starts in verse 1 of chapter 18. In verse 1 of chapter 18 it says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I've just went over three verses with you. And who did Jesus say? Children. The lowly little children. God's children. The disciples had been with Jesus. The disciples had walked with Jesus. The disciples had been called by Jesus. And they could not figure out why Jesus would say that little children were so valuable. And Jesus had to continue on in chapter 18 of sharing parables where everybody would understand through the parables of what he meant. Be a shepherd. Be a shepherd. Vacation Bible School, I've spoke about already. We had the people from Tuscaloosa here. Great city, great state, but wonderful souls. I don't know what they told you when you walked down the hallway and spoke to them, but did you see their smiles? Did you feel for being here? Oh, by the way, if you remember, they were here over a holiday weekend, the 4th of July. Very special event. But they were here doing God's work to who? The little children. The little children. This powerful message to someone like me, that we should always place ourselves where the little children is. So, back to verse 4 in your Bible, make yourself a note of who you are therefore. Because the therefore is there for you to have a reason of the therefore. Where are you in your journey in helping young people? Where are you in your journey of being the shining example for our young people? It's amazing to me. I couldn't get my mind around exactly what God wanted me to say about this message today. And He kept bringing me back to the days when we had musicals and the days that we had plays and we had all this drama stuff happening here at the church. And then it dawned on me. He wanted me to tie it all together with the children. Because these children today are some of the people leading this church today. It's a powerful message. When you spend a second and you slow your life down and you humble yourself before God and you listen to what God is telling you today. He's always sharing you something that you learned earlier in your life. It could have happened when you was a very young child. It could have happened when you was in your teens. It could have happened when you was in your 20s. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You're always a child. My wife and I are empty nesters. We still have children. It doesn't matter your children have left. They're still with you. Sometimes they are with you more than you want them to be. Sometimes they give you out. And all that's true. I don't have a problem with that. But the blessings that come, the joy that comes from knowing they're your children, is the same joy that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit wants everybody to see in your children because they're His children. They're His children. And it means so much that we take children and we mold people that God wants them to be. I wrote a point here that's very important to me. And it talks about when Peter was speaking to Jesus. Peter was really believing that Jesus was going to deliver a different message to him. Can you imagine that Peter in his mind even had a clue of half the things that Jesus would have him do? No way. There is no way you could have knew that it was going to happen. But the more important thing here is how Jesus used events and characters of people to show who we should be. Old Testament. Many children were threatened to lose their life. And we've talked about some of those. As those children were threatened to lose their life, you had people in the royal family take them in. You had people hide them. You had nannies take care of them. A lot of things happened. What is different about today? I got your answer. Absolutely nothing. We, the children of God, are called to take care of the ones that need us. We, the children of God, are the greatest thing that He has put in His kingdom for one simple reason. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Share the good news. Ask yourself this question as you contemplate this message today when you go home. When did you start your journey along being cynical? Because I will give you your answer. When did you start your journey of being love and showing love? It was the day you was conceived. Because God conceived you in love. God blesses you because He loves you. God sent His Son here to die for you because He loves you. God sent the Holy Spirit to be among us, to be our motivator every day because He loves us. But if you look closely as we start wrapping up today's message, it comes down to a song that you're going to hear. The song is sung by a group called Alabama. It's a country song, but it's called Angels Among Us. But I want you to look at verse 6 before we play the song. And it says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck. Don't mess with children. Today's message is a simple message. Do not mess with God's children. Allow God's children to be our leaders. Allow God's children to continue to take us down our pathway.